Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners.
The following is an experience-sharing article entitled An Unforgettable Time in My Cultivation, by Xiao Rong, a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Minghui website on February 9, 2024. I am 75 years old, and I started cultivating in Falun Dafa in 1996. That spring, I visited my sister, and I saw the main book of Falun Dafa, Chuan Falun, on her desk. I was intrigued and picked it up. When I saw the author's photo, I felt that I had seen him some time ago, but I didn't know where. My sister told me there were 5 sets of exercises which were easy to learn. Falun Dafa cultivates both mind and body, and the practice requires studying the Fa and doing the exercises. She gave the book to me. I felt a longing to read it and took it with both hands. After I read Chuan Falun for the first time, a number of talks given by the master of Falun Gong remained fresh in my mind, such as no loss, no gain, as well as practicing only one cultivation way. Your main consciousness should dominate, and your mind must be righteous. At that time, I was working at a Taiwanese-owned food company. I was a manager of a company branch with nearly 100 employees. Almost all the employees were recruited from Shandong. They were youngsters in their 20s who had little education and were far away from their homes. I tried my best to take good care of them. I collected raw food packaging materials and sold them to waste collectors. Using the money I received, I bought towels for the employees. In summer, their uniforms were too hot, so I used the money from selling waste to buy white t-shirts for the male workers and white t-shirts with flowers printed on them for the girls. I often told the workers the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and told them that they should do their jobs well, help each other, and be tolerant. When the boss came to inspect things, he saw that the workers were all wearing t-shirts, and he heard that I had used the money from selling waste to buy them, as well as new towels for everyone every month. The boss thanked me for taking care of the workers. No one in other branches cares about these things. Some branch managers even deducted the living expenses of employees and provided food of poor quality. I use the standard of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance in my work. I gained the trust of the boss and praise from the workers. I was reassigned as a manager of a new branch near my hometown in September 1997. It can be difficult, the boss said, but I believe you will do well. Give it a try, and if it doesn't work, we will close the branch and you can return to headquarters. When I arrived there, I found that the management was chaotic and the accounting was messy. There were almost no sales, but there were about 20 employees. They had no work and played cards and chess all day long. When the workers saw me, they were very happy. Manager, we have been waiting for you to come. Since the company policy rotates employees to different branches periodically, they all knew of me. They told me they made very few products for fear that they wouldn't sell. I instructed them to thoroughly clean the workplace and dorms the next day. The next day, I got busy with local marketing. I visited the managers of local food stores in major shopping malls and hoped that they would cooperate with me. When I returned, I went to the unisex restroom upstairs. I saw that the floor was dirty, with toilet paper scattered everywhere. I took some plastic bags and collected the scattered toilet paper. I soaked the restroom floor with detergent and water and scrubbed the floor with a brush. A worker entered the restroom and saw me cleaning the toilet. He cried and pushed me out, saying, "Let us workers do it." He got several workers and cleaned the restroom, including the walls, inside and out. I said to them kindly, "We should maintain the living environment together. A clean environment will make people happy, and they are less likely to get sick." I asked the branch director to arrange a rotating schedule for cleaning, counting me in. From then on, the workers always did a good job keeping the place clean. During mealtime, I noticed many workers peeling off the steamed buns and throwing the bun skins on the table. I picked up the steamed buns and ate them whole. The situation lasted for several days. On the sixth day, the warehouse keeper spoke up. "Our manager is eating steamed buns with skins. Are the lives of the rest of us worth more than the manager?" I said, "We all grew up in the countryside, and our ancestors were farmers. Do you peel off the steamed buns when you eat at home? This really makes our ancestors cry." From then on, there were no peeled bun skins on the table. After I took over the office, marketing operations, as well as other jobs, fell on my shoulders. I followed the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and the situation gradually improved. Originally, this branch relied on headquarters to fund the operations, from raw material purchases, building rental fees, to workers' wages. Later, we paid for everything from our local business's profits, and even turned in profits and expanded production. We also rented a larger factory building for production. Throughout my time there, I always adhered to my belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. The company moved to a new location in the fall of 1998. I recruited Ms. Wong, a Falun Dafa practitioner, to be the cook in the cafeteria. Every day after dinner, when the workers started to work in the workshop, Ms. Wong cleaned the cafeteria and came to my room. We read Chuan Falun. Each of us read a paragraph in turn. Every day, the two of us studied the Fa and did the exercises together. One spring day, in 1999, Ms. Wong came to my office looking quite excited. "Manager, I went to take out the garbage this morning. In the wheat field, there was an older lady reading Chuan Falun. She said many people in her village practice Falun Dafa. They read the Fa every evening at 7 p.m. at the village committee compound. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, they do the group exercises in the village park. She said we can join." I immediately went to the wheat field. I did not see an older lady, but a gentleman in his 40s was reading Chuan Falun. I said that I was told that there was an older lady reading here a moment ago. He said politely that was his mother, and she had just left for lunch. I asked him for the locations for their group Fa study and exercises. That evening, Mrs. Wong and I went there. It was a large room. Some people were cleaning. They were very happy to see us joining them for Dafa practice. Around 8 p.m., almost 80 people had shown up. Everyone sat in lotus position on the pads they brought, and we started to recite Master's new lectures, including Lun Yu, Broad and Immense, True Cultivation, Enlightenment, Realms, determination, what is forbearance, Ren, a brief explanation of Sean, and huge exposure. I was stunned by the scene in front of me. Until that night, I had been basically practicing alone and sometimes studied the Fa with Miss Wong at night. This was the first time I was with a large group of DAFA practitioners and the first time I joined a Fa group study. The voices of fellow practitioners, men, women, elderly and young students, reciting the Fa together. It was truly amazing. Next, we studied the first lecture in Juan Falun as a group, and each person read a paragraph. Due to different levels of literacy, some read fluently, while others read very slowly and stumbled. Everyone listened patiently and read in turn. No one whispered to each other. During the group study that night, I saw the gap between others and me. I wanted to catch up. I wanted to be diligent, and I wanted to truly practice. After reading the lecture, the assistant reminded everyone to read more Fa when they have time, and those who were not highly educated should read in advance. He also asked me and Ms. Wong if we had Master's new lectures and if we knew all the exercises. We said we followed the illustrations in the book The Great Way of Spiritual Perfection, but were not yet proficient. The next morning, I joined the group exercises at 5 a.m. in the small park. There were about 80 people, with men and women divided on two sides, doing the morning exercises in uniform with master's instructions. The veteran practitioners were correcting the movements of new students from time to time. They were responsible for laying a great foundation for my future cultivation. After joining the group Fa study, I began to understand what cultivation was and how to cultivate. With increased reading and reciting the Fa, I learned to measure myself with the standard of the Fa in work and daily life. I also obtained a copy of Essentials for Further Advancement and Master's other new lectures. I eagerly read and memorized Master's words. Bathing in DAFA every day, I became truly healthy, both mentally and physically. While studying the Fa and doing the exercises in a group, I also saw how fellow DAFA practitioners behaved. They always considered others first. Before morning exercises, every practitioner carried an empty plastic bag and picked up garbage, waste paper, and empty bottles whenever they saw them. One morning, I got up a little late. I wanted to get there faster by climbing over the fence at the park. When I lifted my leg to climb over, an elderly lady stopped me. "That is not civilized. Let's go through the main entrance," she said. "We are Falun Dafa practitioners, and we must be good people." Since joining the group study and exercises, I gained a new understanding of the Fa. I realized that I should be a good person, but also that I should be better than a good person. I should be completely selfless and consider others first. At my work, I did my best to take care of the employees. I always told workers about Falun Dafa, about following truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, to be a good person. I explained to them the relationship between loss and gain. Meanwhile, I strictly followed DAFA's principles. Because we were in a rural area and there were a lot of mosquitoes, I used the remaining food money and the money from selling packaging waste to buy mosquito nets, towels, and quilts for the employees. The worker said that the food in my branch was the best. When the boss came to the branch to inspect, he asked during mealtime, "How did you do this so well?" I told him that I practice Falun Dafa. I heard that in other branches, no one cared about the employees' food. Meals were not cooked well, and the employees didn't eat them, and the food ended up in dumpsters outside the cafeteria. At the end of the day, the employees went out to buy instant noodles. The boss's nephew was the production director. When it was his turn to come to my branch, he said, "I was looking forward to coming here. You treat employees as human beings. I have been rotated to all five branches of our company." In private, we all said that when headquarters gives awards to branch leaders, we will definitely vote for you. Falun Dafa has made me a better person. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance has benefited everything and everyone who learned it. I am so grateful to Master. I miss that period of time in my cultivation, which will last forever in the history of the cosmos.
The following is an experience sharing article entitled "Depression Disappeared After Resuming Falun Dafa Cultivation" by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. The article was published on the Mingwei website on August 15, 2023. A significant day for me is May 12, 2011, as this is the day Master rescued me from the brink of death. He allowed me to reunite with fellow practitioners and resume my true cultivation of Falun Dafa. I am eternally grateful for Master's profound guidance and the selfless assistance provided by my fellow practitioners. My first encounter with the remarkable benefits of Falun Dafa occurred in 1998 when I was plagued by back pain. Intrigued by the healing effects attributed to this practice, I decided to do the exercises held at a nearby park. However, at that time, I had yet to grasp the true essence of studying the Fa and understanding the principles of cultivation. Consequently, after a year of practicing Dafa on and off, my back pain subsided, leading me to stop the practice as I had reached my goal. Later, I suffered from depression during menopause. The condition worsened in 2011, and I was not able to work. I was underweight. My face was pale, my eyes were dull, and I lost interest in living. One day, a thought suddenly flashed in my mind. It is a sin if one commits suicide. At this moment, I remembered Master Li and knelt in front of the window with tears in my eyes. I looked up at the sky and said to Master, "Master, please forgive this disciple who doesn't live up to your standard. I want to cultivate Dafa. I want to return to your side. Please help me find Dafa disciples." The following morning, I went downstairs and happened to run into a fellow practitioner whom I had previously known but had not interacted with for a while. After learning about my situation, she invited me to her home where she and her husband, also a Dafa practitioner, helped me to send forth righteous thoughts and do the exercises. They told me I could go to their house for Fa study every day. From that point forward, I went to their home to study the Fa every day. I also did the exercises at home. Through Fa study, I understand that Dafa is cultivation with the purpose of returning to one's origin, and improving Qinqing is the key. I then focused on Qinqing improvement and letting go of human attachments. My mood steadily improved, and the once lingering symptoms of depression gradually dissipated until I fully recovered. 3 months later, I returned to work, radiating a newfound vitality and wellness. My colleagues, astonished by the transformation they witnessed, couldn't help but inquire about the remedy that alleviated my depression. I then shared with them the truth. I had been practicing Falun Dafa, and it was Dafa's master who had rescued me and granted me a second chance at life. I also reassured them that the negative portrayals of Dafa they had seen on television were far from the truth. At work, I hold myself to a high standard and consider others first. When the economy was in a downturn, I gave up several new product development bonuses and salary increases. Witnessing my changes after practicing Dafa, my colleagues began to agree with Dafa, and many of them quit the Chinese Communist Party and its youth organizations. The factory manager and his family all quit the CCP and sincerely began to recite, "Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." Witnessing my changes, my brothers and sisters began to agree with Dafa, and each of them quit the CCP organizations. They sincerely recited, "Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." Over the course of 12 years, under the compassionate care of Master and the help of fellow practitioners, I broke through barriers time and time again with righteous thoughts and cultivated to get rid of human attachments. Now, I happily walk on the path of validating the Fa and saving sentient beings.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.